हरि ओम सहना भवतु शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 84. Second principle of surrender, Atmanivedanam, dedication of the self. Body, mind, family, and whatever else may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet. O youthful son of Nanda, in good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by accepting those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you have full authority over your eternal servant. If it is your wish that I be born again, may I be take birth in the home of your devotee. May I be born again even as a worm, as long as I remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma, averse to you. I yearn for the company that the devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. So we see in the last one, it's looking at what are those things that are not connected to Krishna. Right? Those aspects are what we're seeing, that our distraction from Krishna in the way of wealth, position, family, any of our material needs and endeavors, we're seeing that not connected to Krishna is not very valuable, right? So from that, then we are, so the one's taking the humble position that I'm your servant, but I'm distracted by these things, so I can't be proud, right? Now here we're taking the other, is that I'm the servant, so dedicating oneself, that therefore all these things that are the distraction, body, mind, family, whatever else, that therefore becomes the basis of the surrender, that instead of it being a distraction, all these things now are committed to the Lord. Right? So before they're a distraction, now they're a connection. Right? Does that make sense? So, So now we see here is that the Lord has already been taking as the shelter, protector, however he's the authority. Right? Because surrender means someone else is the authority. Right? Surrender means they're the authority. Surrender doesn't mean I surrender, but now everything goes the way I want. No, surrender means they're the authority. And we see is that his only interest is to be in the association of the devotees. Well, before that was the problem. He was associating with worldly minded people for social position, for money, the family based on bodily concept rather than as devotees. Does that make sense? So by removing the one, and then now, which is the negative, and then now this is the positive. Right? Does that make sense? It makes sense. Like that. So you always have these two. Right? You're giving up what's not useful, accepting what is useful. Right? Then giving up that mentality that there's some separate endeavor in all these things, and then where everything's in line with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Okay. Yes.
So those two aspects and even the two next are directly dealing with the mood in contrast to all those other principles.
The other meaning the all these negative.
Negative, but also like among 64 items that Nectar of Devotion deals with, many are just like form.
Means they're all form, means there's a mood behind them.
Yes.
Like you're trying to, in other words, the deity is a person, you want to please them, so therefore you would naturally, if you're trying to please somebody, then something important connected with them, your dealings with them, they do something, you would take, like they go out on a walk, you would go with them. So Krishna goes out. So there is a mood behind it, but you could say you would have to understand that that's what the mood is by looking at it. While this, yes, you're dealing directly with the problem, with the mood. Because it's not specifically an endeavor. It means to give up what's useless, that would be, of course, there's an endeavor to figure out what is useless and to, you know, what would be the appropriate way of dealing with it. But like you're saying here is that the mood is actually what's being focused on. So the mood of being willing to give up, right? Then there's a technique how to do that. Does that make sense? You know, like, you want to get rid of all your old stuff and junk. But then as soon as you go and there's a closet or a box, as soon as you get it out, then you start thinking, well, this is useful. So then you can't give it away, right? So that requires a technique. Right? But if the mood that I want to give this away is strong, then if you know that technique, then it will work. Right? Or you use your intelligence to figure out one. Right? So if the mood's right, then everything else will come. Mood is the main. Because, I mean, that's the difference between, Goloka and Vaikuntha. It's mood. You know, or Dwarka and Vrindavan, it's mood. Does that make sense? Because otherwise the principle that the soul being the eternal part and parcel and servant of God, that's common in all. Right? They're working for the Lord's pleasure and all the, you know, all these different things. That's common. That's the spiritual world. Right? Then you have, you know, the material world where you don't have, there is no common element, except for everybody's trying to be the controller enjoyer, but there's no common point that they can really in general cooperate on. While in Vaikuntha everybody can be cooperating together, there's no problem. Well, here you only get a small group. If they have some common way to control or enjoy that they want, then it'll work. Is that okay? Yes.
This six items of surrendering are mainly the mood of Goloka Vrindavan?
Are these mood Goloka Vrindavan? No, all six will be there anywhere in the spiritual world, but the particular presentation that's being given here, then that will be in the flavor of Vrindavan. Does that make sense? That'll have that flavor. Because everyone is surrendered in that, but they'll use, you know, a different language, you know, a different, does that make sense? The presentation will be slightly different, because he's God, that's why you're surrendering, and so therefore, you know, I'm subservient, you're the Supreme, so whatever you want to do with me. Yeah, the point will be the same, like that, but the medium of expression will be a little bit less, it'll be more formal. Does that make sense? Like that. But otherwise, these six principles apply anywhere. That's the. Is that okay? I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. So, one is that you look at it that whatever it is that you're once looking for in relationships, then Krishna is all that. It means he, as the person, he's the one that takes care of all those, right? Because the father protects, the mother nourishes, the lover is that intimacy, the son is that kindness, you know, the Lord, you know, he's God, Guru, then he's giving the direction, husband, you know, that even more, that kind of, basically a combination of all of that. So, all those elements, that's there with Krishna, right? So that'll be the, you know, you could say the more direct understanding of it. But you also have the other aspect, as we were discussing before, is within the material world, what you're looking for in Father, that potency is Krishna. It's actually Krishna who's the Father, comes manifests in so many ways as the Father, as senior persons in your life who have that kind of mood, right? He is, it's his Father, he is the Mother. He is the one that you think is your Mother, right? There's a soul there, there's a body there and all that, but the Mother acts as a Mother because of the modes of nature, right? That soul wants to take part in the motherly process. But the process itself is carried out by the modes of nature. That's sanctioned by the Lord under his potency. So actually, it's Krishna who is the Mother. You understand? You know, does that make sense? So all these different relationships, it's actually Krishna. So that's how one begins to start to break them. You know? But like here is that it's gone beyond. So one knows that one's looking there and looking to the person rather than just the philosophical point. Is I'm attached to the family member, but it's actually Krishna who's there. But, you know, so I have to deal with them appropriately because actually I'm dealing on Krishna's terms. It's Krishna's potency, so I have to deal properly. So that's why I'll deal properly. Right? You know, because otherwise I'll deal properly if I have that attachment and I know the technique. Right? I know the rules of etiquette. Then I'll deal properly simply because I'm inspired because I think this lump of matter is my parent. Does that make sense? Right? So that element there, that's then where we're using the philosophy, right? We're using the philosophy to break down the attachment. In other words, that's a retraction, right? So it has this application in retraction because all those points, father, mother, lover, son, all those are actually acting in that way because of the modes of nature, right? Devotee, not devotee, it's the modes that make it work. That's how it functions here. Like in the spiritual world, the Sandini, Samvit, and Vladini, they make everything work. Right? So here, it's the modes, the three modes make everything function. Right? Does that make sense? It's like the man moves his hand, the woman moves her hand in the same way. One looks masculine, the other looks feminine. Right? Like, let's say someone's half a kilometer away. You can't distinguish who it is or anything. But how they're walking, you can tell if it's a man or a woman. Or if it's a child. You understand? That's the modes of nature. Right? It's not, they're devotees, it's not, no. The devotee is not controlled by the modes, means their consciousness is not affected by the modes. But the body and everything around, the field of action, functions by the modes. So there isn't an alternative. You understand? But the point is since it's the same person, Mahamaya, Yogamaya, then the mechanical effect of the application of the three modes or of the Samvit, Sandini, Ladini is going to be the same. You know what I'm saying? You drop something here, it goes down. You drop it in the spiritual, it goes down. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the same. The point is whether you're seeing a connection to Krishna, therefore you're getting the spiritual benefit from it, or you're not seeing it in connection to Krishna, you're getting the material. Does that make sense? So that's the difference that you're dealing with. So in here, if one is attached to the material energy, right, then you would use this point as retraction. Right? Pulling yourself out because my attachment is actually all Krishna's potency. And he's making it work that way. But there's a soul there. Right? So, means you're interacting but not necessarily on the platform of the soul, but you're interacting through the body. But you think that the person is the body, they think you're the body. That's why it's called that relationship, right? It's called father because of that. Right? And then we have others that they may act like a father, so now it's more the mood. You know, it doesn't have that bodily connection, but the activities are the same. Right? So it's a little bit more, less entangling. You know what I'm saying? So, all it is that process is continued farther to understand is that potency is Krishna. And they're just acting in that way because you want to interact on the platform of Father. They want to interact on that platform of Father. You have common ground, so therefore then it's made. The arrangement is made by the modes that therefore the two of you become related. Does that make sense? And so therefore you act in this way. So, yeah. Does that make sense? So then we're that way we start to break down the attachment. But at the same time, as that soul is willing to be involved in that process, you want that to be involved in that. So therefore we owe a debt to them. Does that make sense? So that's why then you deal properly with them. The other way, it's because of your attachment, therefore you're attached, you deal nicely, you know, as a father or a child. But if you're not attached, you don't necessarily deal as nicely. Here it's you're breaking down the attachment, but because they're taking that role, you owe something, so therefore you'll follow it. You'll do the proper thing. Right? So actually then the proper behavior in that role becomes more steady. Right? Just like devotional service, when it's more focused on Krishna, it's nishta bhajana kriya. If it's not as focused on, it's anishta. Right? It moves because of how much we're Krishna conscious or not. So as we become more Krishna conscious, and we see the relationships, even though we're becoming more detached, work mechanically better. Right? And the mood is better because before it was just my attachment, which may be intense and there's a lot of feeling, but the point is how well it's directed. And even if it's nicely directed, still it won't have as much taste as when it's being done out of a higher duty. You know what I'm saying? When you do something because you want to and you do something out of duty, right? There's a certain, you know, if somebody wants to do something, everybody will say that's normal and that's great. But do they have a ceremony for this person? You know, he has a friend, you know? So we have a ceremony, and in the city, you know, the mayor comes out and everybody, they have a ceremony and they introduce that he's his friend. And everybody claps and cheers and there's all, right? Isn't that what you do? Not so much. Why? Because everybody does it. It's just ordinary and it moves. But it doesn't have to say. Now let's say that somebody, there was a big fire, right? And then somebody went into the fire and saved somebody, right? That they'll have a ceremony for, right? Does that make sense? That will be done. And then if you have a war and somebody did something, that then every year they'll have some kind of, you understand? Because there's that sense of duty, sense of commitment. Does that make sense? So that's what makes it higher, because our tendency is, if we're here discussing it because we've been discussing it for some time. So we keep it on the philosophical, trying to analyze it here and that. But if I took a cold audience and started talking these things, then there would be the others that, no, but then the quality of the interaction will be good. Oh, but then it's only a drama. It's not real. As if your biological connection of the soul with another soul is real. You know what I'm saying? That's the fun part, you know? And it's like people pay money to watch, you know, dramas and movies and other things like that. Are they real? Right? Is that actually King Lear standing there? Right? I mean, maybe the guy's a Stanislavski, he thinks he's, you know, like that. He thinks he's, you know, Lear. But the point is that's not, but is he Lear? No. So therefore, it's an illusion. Everybody knows it's an illusion. Not like halfway through someone figures out, hey, he's not Lear, is he? You know, what am I doing here? I paid all this money and the guy's not Lear. You know, it's like, you know, like that. So everybody knows. Does that make sense? No one has any problem with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, the lady puts on perfume, right? Is that her smell? No, but when they're there, then the man will say what? He says, he won't say, your perfume is nice. He'll say, you smell nice. Right? So in other words, the concept of illusion is accepted as a basis. So that's not the problem. So the point is how well you perform your role in the illusion. Does that make sense? So the point is that if you're attached, it's a problem. Right? If you're not attached and you know how to play the role, you'll do a better job. Right? Let's say there's a guy, he doesn't know acting, but he's really attached to being King Lear. He's always wanted to be King Lear. Right? Then there's another person who's a trained actor. Right? And they have the qualification to play King Lear. Who's going to do it better? Right? The trained person. Even though he's not attached. You understand? So, if we go through this in anything else but the attachment we're dealing with, it works really, really well. The intelligence works, it's very analytical. But as soon as then we apply that into the person's direct life, then no, I want real relationships. There is no such thing as real is in the spiritual world. Real is based on the spiritual platform. There is no such thing as real here. You know what I'm saying? Like that. This looks like a rock, but it's not actually a rock. Right? Krishna in the primary creation makes the blueprint of rocks. That's real because that's non-different than him. This is made out of, you know, earth atoms. Right? So the earth element, along with anything else, a little bit of water, a little bit of fire, a little bit of air, whatever is there, the combination, all those atoms, we're not talking about these ones that they're talking about as atoms now. We're talking about the indivisible, you know, atomic particles of earth. You know, water, fire, air, ether. Those get together and then make this. But its rockness is not coming from the earth and all that. The rockness is coming from Krishna's potency. So this isn't actually even a real rock. Right? But it's actually Krishna. You know what I'm saying? But we'll think it's a rock. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on. So the point is for the impersonalist, then the illusion gets dry. Yes, but that's the Mayavadis. If it's not real, then I don't invest anything in it because I have nothing to gain. Because the Mayavadis are just as materially motivated as the Karmis. Right? They want to enjoy. They were unsuccessful enjoying on the platform of karma. Now, instead of, I was unable to be the controller of on a small platform in my own life with my own money and the society and family. Now I'm going to become the supreme controller of everything and become God, right? Now you'd have to admit that's kind of, as far as logic, that's called stupid, right? You know, in other words, you couldn't manage something big, so what's the solution? Take up something smaller, right? No, but their solution is, I couldn't manage a small corner shop like that, so I'm going to take up a multinational corporation. Then I'll be the controller and enjoy it. You know? So being influenced by that, then we feel that if I don't have that emotional investment due to attachment, I'm not going to perform the part properly. Because that's the Mayavadi's concept. I'm attached, therefore I work. But I know that I don't get a good result, so therefore, why should I work? Right? But as we already pointed out, is it accepted in all societies, in all stratas, if somebody does selfless work, that is considered more noble, more glorious. It will be recognized. But at the same time, we apply in our life, no, I want real. I want this lower thing. That's real. But this higher thing, it doesn't have substance. Why? Because we're applying Mayavad philosophy, actually. So we will think that, no, they're just very emotional and sentimental and all that. Yes, they are. But the basis of it, why they're not accepting the actual philosophy, is Mayavad. Right? So that's why we say there's not really any difference between the Mayavad, the Gyanis and Karmis. It's just two flavors of the same thing. People want to control and enjoy. It's just which area, that's all. But the main principle is the same. Right? So we call them a sentimentalist. We wouldn't say they're a Mayavadi. Does that make sense? But they think that if I don't have that material attachment, I won't function properly as a husband or wife or father or child or like that. But it's actually the devotee functions better because now it's working on a higher principle and he's seeing Krishna. Right? And then we bring it to the point where you just think of Krishna as the person, not as God and as his Paramatma and how he's expanded through everything as Brahman and the universal form. But he is the person. He's the one that takes care. He's the real father. He's the mother. So now instead of seeing the parent, and that is Udipan for thinking of the philosophy, but it's like the attachment comes up. Therefore, no, we balance it with philosophy and all those things like that. And then, okay, I should do the duty, and just because I don't feel I should do, and all these different things. But then here it's that the Udipan is they'll remind you directly of the person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that how he's the one, and he's made the arrangement to come as the father and as the family. And so all benefits that I have, that's what Yudhishthira Maharaj is talking about. Right? In the first canto, when he's discussing how, with Arjuna, that how everything that we have is by Krishna's grace. Right? Once he figures out Krishna's left. Right? So there he says, he's given us, all our prowess and our family and our weapons and our wealth and our position and everything like that. But there it's seeing, it's the person himself has arranged it. And he's arranged it as this person who plays the role of father. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, you're going from, this is the father, the body, and that is the father, I'm the body, so that's the relationship, to understanding we're not the body and all that, but then the tendency is to therefore not be involved, bringing it to the actual transcendental platform, because the other one's not, it's, you call it transcendental, but it's transitory transcendental, it's temporary. You can't stay on that platform, right? Because you'll either have to go forward into devotional, back into material, into, your regular material involvement. So then you bring the point is, no, it's Krishna who's come as these potencies, so you're seeing now it becomes dynamic. Because the devotional aspect, then the karma and jnana will come. The other one, it's only because of your pious activities, you've gotten enough karma and jnana to be able to see it. But it's still only on the material platform. Because remember, jnana is material. Right? So the Brahmavadi is still on the material platform. The transcendentalists, because they're applying their materialism in spirit. But real spiritual is devotional. You understand? In other words, this is the place where you have that overlap, so depending on which perspective you put it on one side or the other. Right? Just like Ruchi and Asakti. If you're looking at it from stages of Kanista Madhyam Uttam, then you're going to connect Ruchi and Asakti to Madhyam. And then Uttam is after Brahmabhuta, right? But if you're looking at Bhav Sadhana, right, then certain elements starts in Ruchi and Asakti. So that's the neophyte stage of Bhava, right? Then you come to the Madhyama stage where you have the spiritual form, you're functioning within that, but you still that Purvaraga, complete attachment to Krishna, hasn't come up, right? And then when that comes up, then you're in the Uttam stage of Bhava. Right? But it's still not prema. Does that make sense? So for someone on the platform of prema, then that's the neophyte platform. Right? And then prema is there, and then if you're going beyond prema, if you're staying there, then that's fine. But if you're going beyond there, then it continues. You understand? So depending on what is the perspective you're viewing the topic by, then some of these things move this way and that way. We like everything in nice little boxes. They always stay in those little boxes. But unfortunately, it's alive, so it's God. And so he doesn't stay in little boxes, right? Mother Jashoda tried it. It didn't work. So therefore, with our little computer, we're not going to be able to get Krishna in a box. Right? It just doesn't work, right? It's like, why is the schedule so hard? Right? You want to work everything out, get it down, nail it, and you got it, but you can never quite do it. Why not? What does Krishna say in Gita about time? He's time. Right? So, therefore, unless it's devotional, and then by his grace, then you can catch him as time. Otherwise, you'll never catch him. So all these techniques they use, but you never really hear that, you know, it's happening. You understand?
Even if it's happening, like, oh, my Krishna's gracious, it worked out.
Yeah. It's just, you know, because you don't expect it to. Like that. The brahmacharis actually showed up, or, you know, something happened, you know, it worked. You know, it's amazing, you know.
Awesome. It seems that at this level of Atmanivedana, he doesn't need to turn to Father to find fatherness in Krishna.
No, he doesn't. Because anywhere, because Krishna is taking care. Father protects, Father provides. So that you go out on Sankirtan somewhere and then you find some place to stay without any trouble. You know, there's some devotee says, you know, so you're going down the street doing books and they say, hey, you know, what are you doing here? And like, hey, you have a place, you can stay at our place. Krishna's arranged that. See, so he's taking care. Right? You get food and all that. He's the mother. Right? You know, you meet people there, you interact nicely with the devotee. He's the friend. He's arranging all this. So that's, yeah, these different, you know what I'm saying? And then you have the thing is that you have the relationship, so all these things will remind you of that direct relationship, but that's for later, not now. Does that make sense? So the same principle works on all these levels. So we see as we're discussing it there, specifically primarily as retraction. But then it comes to the point of attraction. Right? So here the flavor is of attraction, but it also works in retraction. Right? Because you have the two things is that here he's starting with humility and then surrender as the first two items. Because unless you're humble and surrender, how you'll take up the process? Right? But at the same time is in the logical presentation of the order of the six, these are the last two. You understand? You know, it's just like sadhu sangha is after shraddha, right? Shraddha sadhu sangha. But you only get shraddha from sadhu sangha. Right? So in other words, only from the dainya and the atmanivedanya do you get the mood in which you can therefore take up what's favorable, what's not favorable. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. That's the logical presentation. One follows the other. But the mind works with it, sambandha, prayojana, abhideya. Right? Then once it works, then it goes back to prayojana. So it touches on prayojana first, before going. So it does go sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, but it goes sambandha, touches prayojana, then abhideya and prayojana. So that's the same way is here, is that it touches on these, then it goes to the others, and then it brings us back to that. Then it's solid. Does that make sense?
How the dedication of the self can be aspect of retraction?
Retraction means is that you're dedicating that you want to be completely absorbed in Krishna, but to do that, you're absorbed in Maya, so you have to be able to pull yourself out of Maya.
It's like an aspect of attraction and retraction, the goal of retraction.
It means the two are the same part. It means the point is the gopis are fully attracted to Krishna, and they have no interest in the material. You know what I'm saying? Is in the Boma Leela, you can see both the material and the spiritual, right? Now, the eternal associates don't even bother. right? Because whatever they see, it's all Krishna, so all they remember is Krishna. So even they're dealing with the material energy, they're not dealing with the material energy. They're dealing with inferior energy, but they're not dealing with the material energy. You understand? Because material means it is not connected to Krishna. But everything is, and they see it that way. Does that make sense? Those jivas that are not inclined to the, are attracted by the devotional, though they're on the spiritual, it's temporary. You know, so when we're saying that being situated spiritually without devotion is a temporary position, we mean it's always like that. You know what I'm saying? Spiritual position meaning you're on the Brahman platform, right? Means you're liberated. You're a person, you have a spiritual form and all that, but you don't specifically have attraction to Krishna. Can you last in that position? You understand? No, because what will then be you are Satchidananda, right? So existence, knowledge and activity, and results that give some kind of experience or happiness. That's your nature. Right? So that means then you're going to look at the spiritual nature not in connection to Krishna. Right? And when you look at Krishna's energies not connected to Him, what is that called? Material. So it doesn't matter whether you're looking at spiritual atoms or material atom, or you know, the internal potency atoms or external potency atoms, if you see them separate from Krishna, that's material. Right? Sita Devi is, you know, the internal potency. But Ravana looks at her not connected to Ram, so therefore he's seeing material energy. Does that make sense? And so, we're not the ones that makes that conversion. That's why the material cause is separate from us. We can be involved in the operational cause, but we're not the material cause. You know what I'm saying? We can put the potatoes in the water, turn on the stove, but we don't make the potatoes get soft. The material energy does that on its own. Does that make sense? So we're not actually the one who transforms. So the point is, Srup Shakti moves back and forth as either. So it doesn't matter. If she's manifest through the external atoms, if you see in relation to Krishna, she deals with you as internal potency. Right? Therefore, the devotee in the material world is getting spiritual benefit. If you're seeing the manifestation of the spiritual atoms, but you don't see a connection to Krishna, she deals with you as the external potency, as Maya. Instead of Yoga Maya, now Mahamaya. Right? Shankachuda is catching a bunch of gopis, right? He's in Vrindavan. But his dealing, he's actually in the material world because he doesn't see it in connection to Krishna. So this is the thing. So it's not so clear, just here's spiritual. That's where you start. It's because that's true. But at the same time, as there's also the same things are going on in both places. Right? We're here. We'll say this is the spiritual world. And we don't have any problem with that. You know what I'm saying? But if we say is that the same place you have both going on at once, then we'll have a problem. You know what I'm saying? You see here through the spiritual vision, you get full spiritual benefit. You see through the material, you'll get material. Right? The animals don't make a distinction. That's why they get purified. They don't get devotion, they get purified. Right? Because they're in touch with spiritual. Does that make sense? So, this distinction, then here is, it's just a matter of how much it is one way or the other. So there's the material vision of it, then starting to see Krishna's involvement in it. But we don't have that relationship with the person, so we're seeing philosophically on the Brahman and Paramatma aspects. He's the controller, he's enjoying, he's all pervading, it's his potencies. Right? But with time, then, as the attraction is there, we develop that love. You know what I'm saying? So then the same dealings, then we're seeing the person. Right? And we may still be dealing with some attraction, but that person is more. So the same thing can be either way, because you're dealing with the same person. Right? There's only Krishna. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of how much we're seeing it as Krishna, how much we're not. So prema means totally seeing it as Krishna. Right? Materialist means totally seeing it as not Krishna. And then there's in-between. Right? So the in-between is what is the great volume of range. That's why the process, we'll have an idea that the Kanista process is different from the Madhyam process, is different from the Uttam process, is different from the process, platform of prema. But the point is if it's not consistent, how will you move through? You know what I'm saying? How will you move through? And if it's all Krishna, then it naturally would be consistent. But this Krishna is unlimited, so there's so many aspects. It's just which one we're viewing at the time. Does that make sense? Right. Let us say you're sitting with a friend and, you know, discussing... you're revealing your mind to a friend. You have a problem, you're revealing your mind, and he's listening nicely and everything like that. So what's the quality that you note in the friend?
Care.
Yeah, care, shelter, all these kind of things. Now let's say, you know, we're dealing with a friend who's equal, like that, and you're having a wrestling match, and he's sitting on top of you. So what do you notice now? What is the quality you notice now?
Strength,
weight, you know. You understand? So it's not that he didn't have strength and weight before, but that's just not what's being manifest through that operation of the relationship. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna is unlimited, so depending on what aspect you're dealing with, then there's all these different qualities. So it appears to be different, but it's the same person. You know what I'm saying? So there's rules of discussion. There's all rules of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's why all the different shastras are discussing all these different subject matters that we think are different, but they're actually the same subject matter. Yeah. Okay, so it means this is, in other words, if it doesn't include them both, because the point is you're always remembering Krishna because you're not forgetting, and never forgetting means always remembering. So it's two aspects that are different but at the same time the same. That's the advantage. That's why these explanations are so difficult. You know what I'm saying? Because technically it's not a big deal. You have white, you have black, and then you have gray. Okay? And how do we define gray? Is it a light gray or a dark gray? What makes the difference? How much white and black? What's the proportion? More white, it's lighter. More black, it's darker. Is that difficult? Technically?
No.
No. But this point in the philosophy where you have the gray, that we can go on and on and on and on about, especially if we have issues, right? It's very straightforward. Right? Does that make sense? Like I was discussing with someone about one of these points of overlapping, is that you have your service, it's connected to Krishna, then it's fine. Right? And then they say, well, but what about the economics? What about the money? Okay, thank you. What about the money? You know, it's just like, well, you know, wasn't that included in the definition? Whatever you're dealing with in your household life that is required, if it's connected to Krishna, it's fine. If it's not, then it's not. And so that degree it's connected, it's good. To that degree that's not, it's not. Right? That is simple. Same with, you know, black and white and gray. But what about the money? You know, we're getting the money and then we're, you know, in getting involved in it, then you're dealing in the area of money, certain attitudes come up, how you deal with people, certain, you know, things that you have to project yourself, you have to be very confident, you have to be all these different things, otherwise they won't take you seriously. So, you know, their point was, you know, what about all that? But the point is you see a connection to Krishna, it's fine. You don't see a connection to Krishna, it's not fine. Does that make sense? It's very simple, but because we have our conditioning means the general philosophy makes sense, but when we go to apply it specifically, that's where the problem comes up, because of the attachment, it gets cloudy. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's so easy when you're watching someone else, right? There's another family, right? And either the dealings of the husband and wife, or the parents and the kids, or between the kids themselves. It's so easy. You can say, oh, the husband should have said this, or the wife should have done that, or the parent should have done this, or the kid could have reacted like this, or the brother like this. So it's so clear, like crystal clear, right? And you could tell them that, and if they followed it, it would probably work really well, right? But if it's to yourself, then you can't see it at all. You know, then you come and say, no, you just, then they're looking at you, oh, you have to do this. No, you don't understand. What do you mean? No, it means you're not absorbed in the feeling. Right? Know it when the term you don't understand is used. They're not talking intellectual here. It's meaning that you're not appreciating the feelings that I'm going through in this situation. That's what it means. Does that make sense? So because of that, then it makes it cloudy. So that's why we have the desire, we make the endeavor. Whether we're successful or not, that's secondary, right? Because the primary is that we're trying to do it for Krishna. If that's there, even if it's not successful, it's not the end, because you've tried. From that, some knowledge, some detachment will come. Because that's an automatic, byproduct of bhakti, right? When you operate bhakti, jnana and vairag automatically come, right? In the material world, if you endeavor for jnana, you can get it. If you endeavor for karma, you can get it, right? But when you endeavor, you don't get both at once, and not as an indirect, right? So bhakti, you'll get that. So then by doing that, then the next time, it will be that touch more easier, right? And even if you fail again, still, then you contemplate it a little bit more. And so over days, weeks, months, or even years, then it starts to have effect, depending how deeply rooted it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, so something like chewing bubble gum might be easier to get rid of. You know, family life takes a little longer. You know what I'm saying? So it just takes time, but it will come automatically. That's why when Prabhupada says automatic, he doesn't mean you're doing nothing. It means those who want to misinterpret this point and say, no, you have to endeavor. Prabhupada's saying you're endeavoring, but because you endeavor, it's automatic. If I put the potatoes in the water on the fire, right, there's enough water, right, and not too much water, it's automatic they'll get soft, right? I didn't make them soft, so that's the meaning automatic means you didn't do it. But you're thinking, no, I'm doing it. I'm creating the bhakti. I'm creating the rag. I'm creating this. So therefore, unless you make the endeavor, by Krishna's grace, it automatically comes. So that's why we focus on chanting the holy name, that automatically it comes. Does this make sense? So the point is that we have the attachment, by that is clouded, but it doesn't matter. As long as you keep the focus that on Krishna and you accept the philosophical point. If you don't accept the philosophical, it makes it harder. Because then when the knowledge and detachment comes, you won't be able to recognize it. Right? You think there's something wrong with it. You know, like we were saying before, I don't feel that same attack. There's something wrong with the relationship. No, the relationship's perfectly fine. The point is now it's a matter of, now that's why duty is there. Right? Does that make sense? You know? We talk about how the Vedic piety isn't so important. But the point is it's the Vedic piety that makes a relationship work when that, you know, complete passion and emotional drive's not there. That's the only thing that'll make it work. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it could be based on religion, but how many come from some kind of a really orthodox background? You know, where that's their identity, is we follow religious principles. How many devotees of Junkin claim that that's their background? You know, there are some, but it's not many. So therefore, that's what keeps things going. Does that make sense? But it comes from religion. Right? So then, as that comes up, one will be able to recognize that that's what's happening, but it's not a problem. It's actually fine. Because if I'm clouded by by attachment, I don't necessarily do the right thing. You know, like the parent and the teenager, right? Always trying to do this, trying to do that, like that. And the teenager says, you know, let it alone. You know, give us a break here, you know? Like that. No, but I'm just trying to help. But his point is because of attachment is there. Or see, the other one is they're attached, so they know, okay, they're doing this, let them try. Right? Does that make sense? You know? So that's the thing. Like Prabhupada gave the example, he was telling that story of they had the small child, right? Very active, running around all the time and all that, and wants to do everything. It might have even been him, but I'm not sure. But it was somebody there, and all the family members are there. And the kid wants to put his finger in the fan. Right? So that's going to be bad. It's Prabhupada's son. So then, the point is they can tell him, no, that's nonsense. They say so many things or like that. So then they turn off the fan. You know, because the kid doesn't know the difference. You know, because if he knew the difference, he wouldn't stick his finger in the fast-moving fan, right? So he can't tell the difference. So when it slows down enough where by touching it he wouldn't get hurt, then they said, okay, now you can touch the fan. So put his finger, but it'll just make the noise because you're starting to go brrr, like that. He'll get scared. And so now he won't touch the fan anymore. Right? But that took maturity. But what's driving that is that, you know, that proper, you know, duty as a parent or that attachment. You understand? But if the attachment is too much and all you get this and that, you can't use the intelligence. But here is very clever. They used it, and then it's that. You know, it's like the mother, you know, you put something on, you know, it's like the kid has something, and then you garnish it with something, you know, and the kid therefore always wants more. You know, no, I want more. It says, no, that's nice. It's nice like that. No, I want more. Like that. They'll just go on and on, because they don't know what they want like that. So the mother will take the thing, put her hand like that, and go like this. She hasn't put anything on there. Like that. And the kid, okay, you know, the ritual has been done, I got more, so they're cool. So the mother's put, the kid, you know, thinks he got, and everything's fine. You know what I'm saying? So this takes intelligence. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that means that the balance between the attachment and that is workable. Otherwise, if attachment's too much, it won't function. Attachment's too little, it won't function. So the point is the attachment to the material, but you don't replace it with another, you replace it with attachment to Krishna. Right? So the common point is the duty. The activity of the person here, because he's saying he is a family, body, mind, family, whatever else may be mine. So he's talking as a grihastha here. Right? He's not talking as, you know, a renunciate sitting out under a tree somewhere. So that means then he's seeing that, and so as his attachment for Krishna, then he's dealing with his father, his mother, his lover, son, preceptor, all these things very nicely. Right? There's not a problem there. Right? Because the duties are being done, but the mentality of where the drive, the attachment to Krishna, to Maya, to Krishna, that's the difference. Right? Yes.
It would seem that from the perspective of a child or perhaps a wife, the husband is just working out of duty and he's really detached. So they would feel there's no affection there.
No, but duty includes the affection, the show of affection.
All right, then you'll feel you're detached, you're showing it, but you don't have it, so I don't...
No, but then that means you're not doing it right. You know what I'm saying?
You have it or you don't have it?
Means there is no such thing as having material affection. It's an illusion. There isn't any.
But it seems like that's what the wife and children thrive on, the material.
Yeah, so, but how is it done? Wife comes out, oh, you look very beautiful today. Right? What's the test? You know, if you didn't say, then she'll say, you know, how do I look? Right? And then how you respond, you know? Because the point is it's a matter of putting focus and energy. It's a matter, you're thinking of work and all that. Yeah, fine. Like that. So that was not good enough. So you have to go, you know, you're thinking about the business. How do I look? Then you have to give full attention and look and go, oh, yeah, no, nice. You know what I'm saying? So it's, but because you know that that's what you're supposed to do, you've done it. But the other guy is, just as he's attached, so he would tell his wife, She's you know, looks nice. He's also attached to making the money to buy all those saris and ornaments. So now he's thinking of the money. So when she asks, he doesn't respond properly. She gets upset. But that was real attachment. You know what I'm saying? So it's not even that it's real attachment. It's that how it's applied. You know what I'm saying? So the point is this, when we say duty, see, in the West, duty means something that you have to do that you don't really want to do. Right? We're talking about the old world definition. Duty are the things that you should do and you're committed to them. You want to do them right. You want to do the things like that. So therefore, that duty you do well. Because the point is, it's the duty of the husband to interact with the wife like that. Right? And so he does that, nice, great. But then he says, yeah, it's nice. But she can tell us that's the same. Yeah, it's nice that he said last week when they went out. So then now she'll go, so what do you think looks nice? Now he's stuck because his trick isn't going to work there. So now he actually has to look and go, the sari's nice, you know. And so if he pulled that up, great. But the next day, what do you like about the sari? You know, she'll keep going until he's actually, the point is that he's actually focused there. He's dealing in the moment. Real means dealing in the moment. So for most people, unless the hormones hit so strongly, they don't deal in the present. They're always in the future or the past. Right? Because the woman's basis of existence is the mind. And the mind is produced from the mode of goodness. So unless you deal in the moment, it doesn't mean anything to the women. Well, the man tends to, his base of existence is the intelligence. But that's coming from passion, that's the future. So the man is always talking about, means the man talking about the future is not so bad because, you know, you'll get things from it. But the man who's in ignorance in the past, no woman likes. Right? Because that's completely opposed. Right? There's no connection between goodness and ignorance. But passion is on the border, so there is a connection between the two, the touching. So you can work with it, but they'll always work with it to bring it to the moment. You know, because he's talking about business, and that's great, you know, but concentrate on, you know, dinner. We're interacting here. Does that make sense? So it's the present. So if that's done, that's the duty, is to be able to be in the present. But the fun part about it, that's why we're saying it's totally consistent. You want to go back to Godhead, you have to function in the present. Like I'm chanting the holy name, I'm thinking of something else. That's inattentiveness. What does it mean? I'm not dealing in the present. Right? So the difference is the women accept goodness. I mean, expect goodness. Right? But devotion means pure goodness. So the difference is there's no passion or ignorance. Right? So when you're dealing on goodness, there's always something going to go wrong somewhere. Why? Because there's still passion and ignorance involved. But in pure goodness, there's no passion or ignorance. That means the husband who's situated in pure goodness, he'll do the duties of husband way better than the husband who's not. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, persons like Yudhishthir, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're perfect husbands. You know, they do all their duties and everything nice. Because the point is they have a duty, so they do it. You're supposed to, so they do it. Because everybody has a thing. The wife is sitting there and she's lounging around and, you know, feeling, you know, tired after, you know, this and that, and there's been some stress from this, and that's, she just wants to kind of be on her own, and suddenly the doorbell rings and then there's somebody there that you have to attend to. So now, by the definition you were giving before, would that be real, her going and interacting? Right? She doesn't want to, but she does it because she's supposed to. But it will come out real, because she'll deal in the present. But if she doesn't care for them, though she's supposed to deal and really doesn't care and doesn't really worry if she'll get the proper result or not, then she won't deal in the present. That she also tell, if that means just as the wife tells, if the husband's dealing properly by the present, you can also tell her dealing by she's not dealing in the present. She's not dealing with what's going on now.
So in this, like you say, the old school karma idea, the modern concept of relationship is not really, it seems from what you're saying, it's not really an issue. It's not like, it doesn't go well, we don't get along so well, or I don't like you so much. It doesn't seem to be
that doesn't
part
matter.
Of the equation.
It's not part of the equation. Because the point is masculine and femininity go together, right? So there's always something that will attract. So you just work out what are the points of attraction and focus on those. And the points that are not, you don't worry about it. Because you'll never get perfect, even if you have a perfect chart. A perfect chart means 92%. It's never 100%. There isn't such a thing. You can't get it. And that includes, you know, Radha and Krishna and Lakshmi Narayan and Shiva and Parvati. Because if it was 100% where there was nothing, it's like living with yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you have this mirror that goes around with you all the time, and every time, it's perfect. You know, every time you look, they're looking back. You know, the intensity you look, the response, it's perfect. But how long are you going to be happy walking around with a mirror? Right? So that's why, and all these things, and even worked in, you know, when you say perfect 92%, it means that so many of the things are opposite. You know what I'm saying? It means certain things are exactly the same. But certain things are 180 degrees opposite. Because if they're not opposite, how do you start conversation? You don't, I mean, unless you're really emotionally involved, you don't talk to yourself. You know? Like that. But here is that, because there's a difference. That creates a thing, you know? You do one thing, she's doing another. So, oh, this happened today. Okay, it starts a conversation. You know? But you see, two men can sit together, do it, and they don't necessarily have to interact, and it was a great time. You know? Because it's the same. So it's just as long as it's the same kind of mood, then it works. But there is the opposite element. Does that make sense? So it'll always work. Subhadra, she would have been a perfect wife for Duryodhana or Arjuna. It didn't matter. She would prefer Arjuna over Duryodhana any day. But if Balaram had arranged that she married Duryodhana, it would have worked perfectly anyway. Because she knows what the duties are of wife. He knows what the duties are of husband. They would have done it. What they're looking for, they would have got. It doesn't necessarily have the immediate natural spontaneity based on mutual attraction. Because anyway, mutual attraction, though it is the best of attraction, on the material platform is overrated. Because give it 6 months, it goes away anyway. You know what I'm saying? And then what you're left with is the actual companionship. What is the compatibility? Like that. So it's just the way it functions. So if duties are there, you do it, even though you don't feel like it. Right? You know, it's not the temple president. If it's that he wants to control and manage the universe, then yes, he'll always be there for everything, but he'll drive you nuts. But there's times when he's tired after, you know, the Janmashtami program and this and that. But, you know, he has to give the class the next morning. He'd rather be asleep. He'd rather be on vacation somewhere. But he's not. He's there giving the class. So that's what makes the relationship, because it's steady. You know they're there. They know it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How would you relate this to what I see in America now amongst the Indians? They're very dedicated in their occupation. And their occupation, more often than not, has nothing to do with their natural tendencies, what their parents wanted them to do. So the American side...
Oh, it makes money, though. That was what they wanted them to do.
It makes money. And I asked one of them, I said, well, if planting vegetables would make more money than programming software, would you do that? He said, yeah, my parents want it, that's what we would do. It's whatever makes money.
Mm-hmm.
So... the Western idea, for many people, is find what your propensity is and explore that in an occupation. So what is good and bad about what they're doing if there is something good?
It means they're involved in economics. So that's what they're good at, so that's what they're doing. But the detail, then that's also time, place, and circumstance. The same way of being in the Vedic is that, let's say you're a farmer, so if farming's available, naturally you do that first. But if farming wasn't available, then you take up business or banking. You know? But it's dealing in the economic field, because they're able to function in those fields because that's their nature. If it wasn't their nature, they wouldn't be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? If they were from other families, they'd be functioning on a different level. Does that make sense? You know. So it's still, they're going to work with...
I was thinking, it seems like there's an aspect where maybe they don't function well, but there's so much dedication to...
You could say that. Yeah, yeah. It means it works, because the point is to get money. So they get that. But it may not be the ideal circumstance. So that's why if you know the science, you understand the varnashram process, then you know what would be more ideal for that situation. And if it's available, you'd arrange that. And if it's not available, you arrange what's next and what's next and what's next. You know, it just keeps dropping down until you get to what you actually have. But if you have a better facility, you do it. You know, so does that make sense? You know, the guy is, it's his the anniversary and this and that, and you know, it's they're in some kind of strange things like that. So, you know, it's not ordinary. They're not at the house. They're not in the regular thing, going to the regular places. But so nothing's, so whatever's ideal around he can use, then he sets it up. He folds the napkin nicely instead of just putting it there or this and that. And then he finds the one place, you know, in some drawer, so, and a candle. So he lights that, you know. And so it's, if you look at it, it would look not very ideal, but the attempt is there, the mood is there, he had it. But if he didn't have the candle, he wouldn't, because it's not available. It's not his place, he's not in control of it. But if it was, he'd use it. You know? So that's the whole idea, is that the Vedic gives you what is the principle and what is the ideal external form of that principle. And then it'll give you some alternatives, and then you have to use your intelligence from there to apply it to whatever is the situation. Not understanding this, most will feel that the varnashram is just a set of rules to control us, and therefore if I'm being controlled, I can't enjoy. How much I control is how much I enjoy. So therefore there's the natural rejection of the varnashram system. But it's not based on, I have not met a person who's rejected anything from varnashram that's done so with actual real intelligence. Occasionally, they will be right that the devotional thing is more prominent here, so it wouldn't be as important. But their motive for saying it, I don't think, is devotional. I haven't met one yet like that. It's always because of their own material conditioning that's the motive behind them dropping the Vedic. Because the same person, there's something in the modern that wouldn't necessarily be, you could do something else, but they're attached to it, so they say you have to do that. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so the So the point is the more one understands the science of the actual topic you're dealing with, then the more you can work, whether it's ideal or not ideal. In other words, if it's ideal, it'll be fabulous, and if it's not ideal, it'll be good. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like someone who's a good cook, even on a bad day, what they cook is good. But when it's a good day, it's fabulous. You know, or someone was telling me the other day, I forget what it was, one of the book distributors, you know, a good day is 300 books, and you know, if he only did 100 books, he would be feeling, this is a bad day. You know, well, everybody else might think, 100 books, that was a great day, you know. But for him, that was a bad day, you know. So it's like that. If you know the science very well, you understand how to apply, you've contemplated the practicing, then it will always be good. But if the situation is more ideal, then it will start to be really, you know, very exceptional. That's what the Vedas are offering. Because it's not based on our whims. Because our whim, you don't know what whim is going to take precedence, you know. Is it a dog whim, a cat whim, you know, a partridge whim, a hamster whim, you know. You don't know. Because you have 8,400,000 to deal with. So the Vedas will establish what's human, what will work in that, and the human is what's nicely connected to Krishna. Like that. You know, does that make sense? You know, so it's...
So let's say somebody comes from a Brahmin family, they were trained as a Brahmin, and they go out in the world, and their parents say, put IIT, become an engineer.
It's not ideal. They'll make the money, so that part of it they'll get done. But then if they're smart, then they will, because they're trained as a Brahmin, before they go to classes or, you know, like that, or before, you know, after they, you know, work in their job, they'll do their puja in the morning and everything like that. So they'll be able to keep that connection with it. Their social interactions, you know, which means their sadhana and dealing with the family will be on the Brahminical platform, so the standards of cleanliness and how they keep things and how much they keep will remain. The only weakness is the occupation, you know, like that. But the lifestyle in that they can maintain. So it's not ideal. But now, like you said, if they could make that kind of money off of brahminical duties, then they would do it. The difficulty is because of the modern element that, you know, that 103-inch, you know, screen actually costs more money than, you know, than you'd get from your brahminical activities. That's the problem. So it's kind of like the, because the Western culture is a bourgeois culture, which means it's the Vaishya culture. You know, so that kind of, you know, Vaishya or Vaishya professionals, Shudras that are, you know, professional Shudras that are Vaishya Shudras. You know, you're the guy that went to, the MBA, you know, unless he's from a business family, just did that to keep himself busy, and so he can say he's educated. The guy with the MBA is a business Shudra. So the Vaishya will, you know, hire him. He'll come in, you know, big bucks, you know, have this facility. He's come back after 20 years, then he'll be in the same position. Like that. So that's how you know he's the Shudra. It doesn't change, right? You know, the Vaishya is the guy is, you know, he got some money together. He bought some stickers. He went to the, you know, the music festival. He sold them. You know, then he buys more stickers. Then he sells a lot more. Then the next time he hires a few guys to help him selling stickers. Then after a while he hires a manager who organizes those guys to sell stickers. And now he starts to work on now manufacturing his stickers. Right? But when you come back after 20 years and he's still selling stickers, he's not a Vaishya. But he's a salesman. Does that make sense? So that's how you can tell. So sometimes they're saying, oh, I do business. No, you don't do business. Because if you did business, it would increase, right? Like that. You know, unless it's that they're, you know, brahminical and they don't want to do more than that, so then that's fine. You know, so they limit it by that. That's where you'll see the brahminical come out. It's not ideal.
Now they have to disrespect their parents. If the parents are saying, you know, you got to go to college and become an engineer.
But if it's done for the principle of Krishna consciousness, then you can get by with that. But if it's not done in connection with Krishna consciousness, not allowed. Like that, because mother, father, and the guru, that, you know, the teacher, those three always have to be respected. So his dealings with them will be respectful, but it's not necessarily has to do what they say. That's also a tough one for the Western culture, as we were saying before, because of this idea is that my endeavor goes with my feelings. But here it's that you have a duty to deal nicely. Prahlad Maharaj spoke so sweetly to his father. But his father wants him to do demoniac activity. He's not going to do that. But he tells him very nicely, you know, oh, best of the Asuras, and, you know, all these very nice things. But he tells him directly what he feels and things like that. That's the thing. That you don't drop. But if what they're saying is not beneficial for Krishna consciousness, it doesn't have to be followed. Right? Point is make money, you know, take care of yourself and all that. So if you want to live a simpler lifestyle, and, you know, they could live a simpler lifestyle, though they don't want to, but then you just provide those things, and that's all. And you make it very clear, this is what you're going to do. You know, you like it, hey, great, you'll see us and you'll see the grandchildren. You don't like it, you're not going to see like that. You know, so it generally, the older they get, the easier it gets, right? You know, when they're younger, they still feel they're the controller, but as they get older, then they start to drop it. You know, so you just have to keep, but the point is you don't break down the relationship like that. So that's what I'm talking about, is only because of duty you could do that. But now, wouldn't that be superior? Is that dealing very nicely with the parents, even though you're not doing what they say? But the relationship as parent remains, but what they're asking you to do, that's useless, so that's not followed. Like that. So it's two different things. That's why always in these things is that even though something, it's one thing, it has two parts. Right? Both parts are necessary, but there's a primary and a secondary. So dealing with them properly as parents and doing what they say, are two different things. Doing what they say, if it's actually according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, like that, then that's to be done. But if it's not, you're not obliged. Just because of your parents, you're obliged to deal with them properly. But you're not obliged to follow what they say if what they say is useless. You know, that's where we make the mistake. Like that. So if that was followed, then the point is the relationship is good, so then after a while they kind of have to, you know, it doesn't break down anything personally, so after a while they'll have to see us that, well, that's what you want to do. You know, they'll have to accept at some point. You know, and if they're too materialistic and won't accept in this and that, then you keep more of a distance. Does that make sense? You know, it's just, point of it, spiritual, it can be done. Just like it's probably a little known fact, is that when Manu talks about inheritance, then you have the natural thing is you could have, you know, you have many brothers. Let's say there's five brothers. So the oldest brother, then, you know, if he's qualified, then he would just manage the household like the father did, and then everybody's taken care of in there. So it's no problem. Or they can, you know, live in that and work together, but, you know, he'll be senior, right? They can all, like, work as, like a group, but he's senior. And either of these then would work on the material platform. So then you're following Varnashram in that. But Manu makes a point. Now, they will do, as far as material goes, it works really well. But as far as spiritual goes, the problem is you have five brothers. If they do a yajna, they'll do only one. Right? Now, he says, but if they're separate families, there's five separate families, right? And they're all religious, they'll do five yajnas. So instead of getting 20% of the benefit, they'll get 100%. So he makes a point is for spiritual purpose, then a nuclear family is fine. Because your purpose is, therefore, there's less involvement, less distraction, you're focused more on spiritual endeavor. Then that's fine. But if it's not, you should cooperate together with everybody else. Right? So that's not a really known like that. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, somebody will end up with the parents, but that would generally be the older brother. You know, like that. Or as in you know, the Western cultures, whoever's the devotee, he ends up with them because no one else will take care. You know, so he always gets stuck. Is that okay? Like that. In other words, it's that one has, you know, with an individual, possibly hours, if not days, and with the environment, you have, you know, possibly years of explaining these things until you get rid of all the misgivings about the thing before it can be accepted. But if you ever did that, then it would be very short time before the rest of the world would be pressed into following the system, because once they're convinced, the whole world's got to do it. You know, so that's the... That makes sense. It's harder work, but if you accomplish it, it'll get a biggest result. Yes.
Maharaj in the song tree was the first Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he's in the mood that he's Krishna's, and then in the end he brings the point that Krishna is his. So I can't understand.
Krishna is his. What do you mean? You are everything to me, you are my life and soul. So how is that said you are mine?
I don't know, I just saw it like that.
But even then, you have to be surrendered for Krishna to be yours. Because what are you going to do? Even if Krishna is yours, what are you going to do?
Serve,
right? So that's the difference. It's not, he's not paraphernalia or accessory. You know, that now I have my car, I have my Gucci bag, I have my Louis Vuitton shoes, I have my kid, you know, I mean, so like that. No, it's not like that. You know, it's that if Krishna's mine, then therefore I'm going to take care of him, you know, perfectly. So it's still a full surrender, because it's going to end up that way. But that means it means that could be gained from this, but that's going to be the application of the rasa, but the mood is not that. Like Radharani is, you do whatever you like, I'm your servant. But what happens when Krishna does whatever he likes? She gets angry and, you know, won't let him get near her. You understand? But it's being done as part of that full surrender. It's just a part of the flavor. So you have to distinguish here is what's the underlying mood. You know, what's tattva, what's that mood, and what's its application? You know what I'm saying? It's being presented to the Bhagavan. All these things, all the songs are being presented through that. But it's not that it doesn't include the Paramatma and Brahman understandings. That's what I was saying, is that because it's consistent, because Krishna is non-different. He's non-dual. So Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan are non-dual. Same time, they're different. Right? The manifestation, the same person, different manifestation. So the point is the Bhagavan is the highest because it includes all the other aspects. Right? You know, it's like, in other words, the relationship is there, it's very intense, it feels like it's going to be like that forever. So that means the sat element is already there. Right? Because you feel that you want to interact, that's the chick. Right? You're feeling happy in that, that's the ananda. So I'm saying it already includes the others. Right? But the point is when you're dealing with Brahman and Paramatma, because we're dealing with it because it's Bhagavan. But the emphasis is on those, so the flavor of that interaction with Bhagavan isn't as strong. You know what I'm saying? So slowly, slowly it comes in. But that's the point, is it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It's the same principle. Right? You know, sat is there. That's existence. Right? So depending upon the manifestation of sat, or the dham, right? Therefore you have Vrindavan, or you have Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha. Right? And then that reflects here that sat or eternality turns into ignorance. So the basis of the material world is ignorance. So what kind of ignorance? You have cat ignorance, dog ignorance, you know, pygmy ignorance, you know, how you say, goth ignorance. You know, it's just like that. Then you have all these different things that manifest in that way. Does that make sense?
What's the...
Which one? The goth one?
About the Bhagavan, Paramatma, what's the... Why is the tendency of the conditioned soul there to box things up?
To box it up. Because then you have control. I've gotten it, I put it into this spot, I am in control of it. That's why this overlay is so difficult. You know what I'm saying? So that's by learning the science one can deal with. Why can an artist paint everything between white and black? Because he understands the science of the proportion and all this and what you'll get. Does that make sense? You know, so if you know that, you get it. You know, it's like you have a... isn't a good brown here. Like that brown over there, Shanti's wearing. That is this saffron here with black in it. Right, but the saffron is red and yellow. You mix red and yellow, you get saffron. You add black, you get brown. Right, so you know that. Then you can tell how the colors work and all that, so you can work with it. So the point is all these three are understood. So then you know how to work with the various manifestations.
And so the more we are advanced. Realization of your minute and constitutional service to Krishna, the more we can accommodate this Achintya Veda Tattva.
Yes, yeah, like that. Because the difficulty is we're not saying it's this and it's that. That's called Dvaita Dvaita. We're saying it's both at the same time. So it doesn't mean, so we study it seeing this one, seeing that one, but it's both at once. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. It's both at once. So we'll try to say, it's both at no, but it's this, you know? You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. You had something?
Just you said that
to things, that in relationships, they only be real if there are emotions involved. It's based on the Mayavad philosophy.
No, on the Mayavad philosophy, in that the reason, see, what is Mayavad philosophy? Is that you engage in material endeavor, right? And so therefore you get the material result. That's supposed to make you happy, right? But if you actually look at it and calculate, if you did a study and marked down how many hours of endeavor, how much happiness, then you start to see it's not quite in balance, right? Seemingly, it means for what you want this much endeavor, this much happiness, right? So even if balance, we're not so comfortable with, right? So then we're going to see that. We're going to see that the therefore, if I'm not going to get anything from it, what's my natural reaction? I won't make the endeavor. If I'm not going to get anything from it, why should I work? Right? So all this is in the inverse. Since I'm not going to get something from it, there's not the therefore, why will I work? So the point being made is that it's a fear that if people are working on duty and not on their emotions as the inspiration, we're not saying that emotion's not involved. We're saying that that's not the inspiration for it, right? So then the feeling is therefore they won't act. So who doesn't act if there's not like that? You understand? That's the Mayavad. Or it's karma. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's a material concept. Does that make sense? You catch that? Okay? You understand? Because then they'll say, oh, wait, that's impersonal. No, it's impersonal to think that because I'm not going to get anything from it, therefore I'm not going to make the endeavor. That's the impersonal. The point is if you're a person, the other person wants it, you make the arrangements. You know what I'm saying? Let us say the two parents, right? And it's just the two of them at home, no one else there. And it's one of their birthday. What are they going to do? Party, just the two of them. Yeah. I guess maybe. But, I'm saying, have a dinner, something like that, do something quiet together, and, anything like that. What happens if the kid's there and it's the kid's birthday? Right? Then all the balloons and the funny hats and then cake and this and that, all these different things, right? You understand? So the point is it's because that's there, therefore then that's how you deal, because that's what the kid's expecting. You know what I'm saying? But if there's no kid there, there's no need for it. So that's duty. Right? You understand. This is how you deal with the kid. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Now, the motive may be is you want to be involved with, birthday parties for kids. So that's why you have a kid. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's there. But then if you work on the principle of arrangement, then you won't have any problems. Because when you go through it, it's just what will be nice for the kid rather than what you think will be nice. Does that make sense? Okay? Yes.
So, it seems like you're saying a couple comes together and they think the basis of the relationship is the emotional experience of exchange. Then they're going to evaluate the entire relationship on that basis, not on the dharmic duty.
Yes.
And therefore, when that goes off, then they can't save it from dharma because it wasn't the principle that was originally calculated.
No, and there's no practice. Even though they try to take it up, like I've spoke to many times couples where, it's on its last legs. It's like 3 months later, it's gone. Some of them 6 months later, it's gone. But when you discuss with them about the performance of the duties and what to do, it just doesn't make any sense to them. And even if they try it, they try it as tricks rather than lifestyle. And so it doesn't work. Those who take it, it works. I haven't seen anyone who takes it that it didn't work. And all those ones that have failed, they never caught it. Like that. They never caught it. So it's because that's how God made it. It's just like, you know, you have your machine, and you know you're supposed to push something, so you're dealing and pushing in the wrong place, so it doesn't work the way you want. So you say, no, you have to do it like this. So if they do it, it works, and if you don't do it, it won't work. But the idea that, no, I've fallen in love, therefore I'm the cause of this relationship. So therefore, I'm actually therefore the knower and the doer and the, you know, giver of results. That's why Krishna, you know, he says he's knowledge. He's the goal of knowledge. He is the activity. He's the result. He's the mantra. He's the chanter. Because he's trying to point out that no, all those things you think you are, that's all him. Right? So then the difficulty comes is that they like, how can you say? You know, how could Scripture know? Because this was a feeling. The only reason I'm involved is because of that feeling. I'm not involved because it's like that. Like you said, the Indian guy gets married, or someone from the, you know, older world, you know, culture, they get married because that's what you're just supposed to do. You go to school, you grow up, you get married, you know, you do all those things. So they go through and they commit themselves to it. And if you talk with them, they're very, very real about it. You know, these you know, so-called third world cultures. Like that is that they know who they are as a man, and they know who the wife is. She knows who she is as a woman, who he is as a man, and so they know that, you know, it's a cooperation. You know, I like this, he likes that. Some places it's common, some places it's not. So where it's common, that you emphasize. Where it's not, you just let it go. You know, they're saying no, because I fell in. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be all that way. You don't want exactly what I want. It can't be. You know, it's like, hey, you know, marry yourself. You know, like that. Try it. You know, like that. It might work, right? You could put a mirror there, walk down the aisle, see yourself. You know, so you could see yourself looking at yourself. You know, get that whole thing. Then when you get there, they move the thing to the side so you can see. And so, you know, do you reflection? Take this. You know, like this something like that. You know, it could be quite fun. You know, it could be one of those. You know, like New York street dramas or something, you know, they just pull off. It's like, it could be quite good. So, it's just the science has been lost for so long that there's no idea of any reality of it being there. You know, what happened? You know, it means, I would say in America, the 50s kind of killed whatever was left, you know. Like that, because before that there was some idea of the old world and the broader world, and like, you know, before World War II, it was very common the international, you know, every, you know, cultured, intellectual, educated person had, you know, artifacts or things from around the world and that, and it was, you could talk about different things, and you know, the lifestyle was much more kind of more old world and those kind of things. But somehow or another, the 50s somehow or another. You know, World War II, the 50s, just somehow or another wiped it out there. You know, it did a pretty good job in Europe also, but not as thorough. Like, they did the job. Yeah. But I won't get into more detail. But,
well, it's just interesting that we have a whole philosophy, and then people get married, and the predominant culture takes over their consciousness.
Yeah, it's sad, because that's why it means for a long time, for many years, that I was talking on how to actually, using the Vedic principles, with specifically the philosophy, to be successful in their external endeavors. Because you can see is for many, how well the external goes is how committed they are to Krishna consciousness. The family life goes nicely. They got married in Krishna consciousness, and that goes nicely. They're committed to Krishna consciousness. That marriage falls apart. They may not be committed to Krishna consciousness, because they'll say, Krishna consciousness made this happen. You know, rather than my lack of Krishna consciousness was the problem, right? So for years I did that, and then I just gave up probably last summer when I got the second complaint by Grihastha men, you know, come on, just give us a break, leave us alone. You know, let us do what we're going to do. We know what we want to do, and we don't need to hear it from you. So I just dropped it. So now it's all philosophy and stuff like that. You know, so it's when it comes up, then you can get into the detail. But the point is it's I haven't met many who want to hear it. you know, like that. If you stay on the Vedanta platform, then everybody can listen to it, but, you know, it's considered very theoretical. And you take it right into their life, it gets too scary. You know, or as when I was in Ireland, I asked some devotees, you know, if that description was okay. They said it was really good, but it cut too close to the bone. Like that. Is that a saying over there? Yeah. So, you know, it was just, they just freaked them out. You know, like that. And that was Europe. And then when you go farther westward, then it's even more of a freak out. You know, because the reality, because you're given what will make it work, but the problem is that's not what's being done. And it's such a difference that it seems to be impossible. But it's not. It's just a change in how you view it. You don't even have to change the externals of the Western lifestyle like that. You have to change how the perspective of it. If you change that, it'll...
So it seems like what you're saying, with all those Western samskaras, you can't change the mentality.
It's very difficult. It'll come with commitment to chanting. So you see, generally those who are really committed to the direct activities of devotional service, they don't have any problem with understanding it. You know, those into book distribution, the preaching, and those kind of things, they don't have any difficulty with it. It's those who figure that the secondary, or the indirect activities, they're the prominent, that the management is the prominent, or this is the prominent, or that's the prominent. Then they miss the point. You know, the family life, when the family life is good, then, you know, it's like... But if you check, in our communities, it's not that the family life is going great. You know? You got, you know... 1,500 devotees living in one place, but maybe, you know, 30 people come to the temple regularly. So it's not working great spiritually. Materially, if you check around, I'm sure you could write novels on what goes on. You know, if you know who with what and this one and that one and so many different things. And so neither materially is it fabulous and neither is it spiritually. So it's kind of like they've missed the principle, right? They're doing activity. And in their history, you go back some time, you know, it worked like that. But there was a difference in mentality, like that. You know, I mean, you know, they were out there, in the Midwest and doing whatever needed to be done and shooting whoever needed to be shot and, you know, doing whatever was, you know, all American. But it was working. But their commitment to the relationships and other things was much greater, like that. You know. So, but now it's not, and so they can't see that that's the problem. It's not the form; it's the mood in which they deal with the form. So, it's not even. It means if they don't change it, they fail. If they do change it, it would work. So it's not by not changing it; it's okay. It doesn't work anyway. So I could understand it if it was working great on the material platform. They had fabulous family life, money, facility, but, you know, the weakness was spiritual. In other words, like the Hindus. Then you could say socially, okay, you just talk philosophy. But here it's socially it's not working. And then it'll be said that but we're in the West, it has to work that way. But if that's the case, why are the Asians coming to America and are more materially successful as a group than the Americans? You know, so therefore, so even if you go down to the East LA, they got more culture there. Maybe unsophisticated, but they got more culture there. There's more of a family rapport and meaning in their interaction than in West LA. You know, so it's like that all over. That's the problem, is that they created this culture that's so economically and socially, upwardly dynamic, but it has no vestiges of actual personal interaction of any substance. You know?
I know. I grew up in West LA.
Yeah, so, you know, so it's like that, you know. So that's the... That's the difficulty, you know, is that it's and they can't see what's wrong. Because the point is, it's supposed to be right. I got money, I got position, you know, I'm respected. You know, what's wrong? You know, why isn't it working? So it can't be that. So it must be, you know, all this Krishna conscious and Vedic stuff. I'm spending too much time on that. I should put more into quality time in the family. Then it'll work. It still doesn't work. You know, like that. That they are committing to put in some time and be that, that's an improvement. But even then, unless you know how to put in the time, it doesn't work. You know, so for those who it does work, generally they're falling back on, you know, their non, you know, pre-Kichuri roots. You know, like that. You know, so if they've been there a long time, then, you know, a couple, it's sometimes lost. If it's only like one generation, like the parents were from Europe, then it's a little bit more connected. But if it's like they're the grandchildren, it's less. You know, and unless, you know, your parents showed up on the Mayflower or something, you know, then they have, you know, your Boston Brahmins, you have some tradition also. But otherwise, Okay. So that was, classically, it was just on that last sentence. So we didn't cover that on Friday. Like that, because I knew, because it gets into that the gray air, gray. So, because the first part you see in the song, you just go through quick, but when you deal with the gray, then it gets okay. So that something's come up that has to be done. So tomorrow we won't have class, like that. We'll continue on Thursday, like that. So that'll be both classes. We won't have today. Will be the regular class at 10:30, but tomorrow won't be. Like that, because what we're planning to do it on Wednesday, but it won't work on Wednesday. So it's life.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.